Took 5 years, but now he gets the opportunity. So I want to ask you, I'll ask everybody else. If you got, I think you guys know the number, but if you don't, 216-474-0092. Also use the Coming In Hotline on the free Odyssey app. Hopefully you're taking it easy on the way into work today. If you got to work, hit the Coming In Hotline on the free Odyssey app. It's right next to the Listen Live button. Who should have the power to make this decision about quarterback? Should it be Andrew Bay? You're going to have to pick one of them. I know a lot of you are going to want to say neither. Fine. Who should make the decision? Should it be Andrew Berry or should it be Kevin Stefanski? I'll tell you that here in a moment. First, 92.3 The Fan, we're looking for a winner. Enter the word moment, M-O-M-E-N-T, 92.3thefan.com. By 10 a.m., you got an hour to get registered to win a pair of tickets to the 25th Greater Cleveland Sports Awards on February 6th at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. It's all from the Greater Cleveland Sports Commission and Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. The word again is moment. Enter it at 92.3thefan.com. Good luck.
So which options are you giving me again?
Which one do you trust to make the decision, biggest decision here?
And
because according
Callie
to
Brownson's
Jason...
gone. I think I'm going with Kevin Stefanski in this situation.
Do you trust Kevin?
I mean, he's definitely lost some trust. He's definitely lost a little bit of trust.
Well, I think
given
so.
Given what's happened.
Because it's weird. Jason says, well, you know, 3-14, you're going to have to answer for it. Okay, yeah, you're going to have to answer for it. By picking the future quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
Why have you lost trust in him to pick the quarterback?
Though? I think overall.
Because he's never gotten to do that,
yeah,
right?
Well,
we
never know, Owen, how much input these guys
have. Of course, I do
call
Jason.
It's a collaborative effort, Anthony. I can answer that
right
away.
And it could be a collaborative effort to make excuses for people. I have called the man the Culligan man over the last so many years here.
They are thought partners, as has been foretold very often. So, look, you're giving me options that, just like the quarterback situation, where, what, do I have to pick the lesser of two evils? I don't think Kevin Stefanski became dumb overnight. And I don't think Andrew Berry is dumb. I just obviously want Andrew Berry to draft better. And I obviously think they're going to need him to draft better. But we have to talk about how this team is going to get out of this mess. Well, the way it gets out of this mess is by coming up with a solution at quarterback. What are the ways to get to that solution? Well, you could go the trade route or free agency or whatever, but that's going to land you your bridge quarterback. That still is not going to solve this issue. Hey, Minnesota had a bridge quarterback this year. It was spectacular for them until it wasn't the final 2 weeks of the year. Right now, I would say probably Baker Mayfield was a bridge quarterback, but he's played so well that he's their starter. He's still, I don't think Baker's going to be there in 6 years, but right now he can do the job. He's going to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a Baker Mayfield available? I hate to use that.
Oh, I'll have my day about that. It ain't going to be this morning.
But who would that be right now? So
Sam Darnold will probably be your Baker Mayfield.
Okay. Yeah. How would that work out? Because they could franchise him. And now he has some value because he just put up 14 regular season wins.
But I'll tell you this: if we're going to talk about what are you talking about, Sam Darnold?
Yeah.
If it's the best of what I can pick, then I'll take the Sam Darnold. But I'm going to be thinking the whole time. And I know coulda, woulda, shoulda, and it was a different time in 2021. I understand that, but damn it, you know they both kind of shrink in the big moments. Except Baker just tries too hard in the big moments. Sam Darnold sees ghosts and disappear. Baker just tries to force balls and gets picked off and has fumbles. But you can't say I shouldn't say he shrinks in the big moment. He just fails in the big moment. But he doesn't shrink like a violet. Sam shrinks. So, hey, we can win a lot of games and we'll save jobs. What am I going to do week 18 when it's time to make the playoffs and we got to beat Pittsburgh in week 18 to make the playoffs? Because I'm sorry. History tells me I can't count on Sam. But you know what? I'd love to get to that moment because I've told you several times. I got to get back to 500. That's where I got to go. You get back to somewhere around 500, then we could talk turkey. We might be in the same problem Tampa Bay is right now. I'd love to have those problems. But if we're talking about trusting people to draft people, I don't know. I mean, good God, that's fish in a barrel to me. I guess I got to trust Kevin. You trust Andrew to pick the quarterback? But if I pick Kevin, you're not going to be excited.
So what's the resume right now?
Because I think I know what they're going to do if they do pick Kevin.
What's Andrew Berry's...
Or if Kevin does have the choice.
What's his resume for the most important position in sports right now?
Kevin's?
No, Andrew Berry.
He came in after they drafted Baker.
Yep.
Then it, I mean, he, we know that he put the ideas in everybody's head to go after Deshaun Watson. Oh God! Well, after that sentence, forget it.
Yeah, but oh wait, wait.
I yield my time.
No, hold on. That was not a gotcha moment, as Jason Lloyd said earlier in the show. Nobody could deny that on the field, Deshaun Watson was at parts during points of his career top five, top seven quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So that was widely held belief. That was now some people definitely argued with me and said, well, these are empty calorie stats. He was losing in these games or whatever. But you couldn't deny that the talent was there and that there was a higher ceiling. That's what everybody was thinking at the time. That's why so many teams went after a guy willing to take the baggage on that came with Deshaun Watson. So I want to make it seem like Andrew Berry's an idiot for wanting Deshaun Watson.
Uh-huh.
Because then there were a lot of idiots. There were a lot of idiots around the NFL.
Oh, there were 12 other quote-unquote idiots.
And there would have been more. There would have been more.
I don't want to call people
the
idiots.
The only reason it was capped at 12 was because other teams had quarterbacks. You weren't going to, and in better situations than we were at that point where it was unraveling.
I don't know if it was better situations, but they probably didn't know enough about the current quarterback that they had. I mean, if I go back to 2021 and go back to some of those quarterbacks who ended up going belly up, maybe some other teams might have been in a position to go after him.
Do you hold DTR against Andrew Berry?
Yeah, why the hell not?
Well, just because he was a fifth-round pick. And you're throwing darts at that point, right? You're throwing darts late in the draft. Every team does.
I know he played a lot of college football, which flies in the face of what I like about taking a guy later on. I don't really love taking guys later on, but if I do, it's like, okay, he played a lot of college football. Do you believe that DTR has gotten any better as a professional quarterback over the first couple of years?
Is that on Kevin?
Is that on? Okay, fine, but do you think it's lack of trying for Kevin? Of course, the first two times he was out there during his rookie year, as Nick says, and it's hilarious, he was surprised to be there. So that makes things a little bit difficult. But yeah, you picked him. You wear it. You could have taken another guy in the fifth round, and he could have been a contributor on special teams. I mean, hell, you took Isaiah McGuire. Isaiah McGuire has turned into a nice player. He was fourth round. He was a special teams guy. Isaiah McGuire's turned into a nice enough player. If Mike Hall could stay healthy and out of trouble, Mike Hall could be a very nice player, but he was a second round pick. You know, we keep making the, he hasn't had a first-round pick. Well, yeah, why hadn't he had a first-round pick? So I have to hold that against you. But I'll tell you this. Once I say this, it's fish in a barrel. It's going to be a slam dunk, Kevin Stefanski. I do believe that if Kevin has the power, as Jason is saying, you will go and you will get Kirk Cousins. Okay, that's not going to make anybody excited. You will trade out of the number two pick. You will trade down. You will amass some assets. I don't know how many. And then you'll go and you'll get, like, Jackson Dart. Some people are saying, Ken, why not Will Howard? Fine, whatever. But more than likely, the guy who has the highest upside is Jackson. The higher upside is Jackson Dart. You'll go and try to make a play for Jackson Dart, who will probably shoot up the draft board because this draft class isn't that great. Now, I have my concerns. I told you, the game against, I highlight, you got to watch his entire seasons, not just sit there and watch what he did against Duke. He made some great plays against Duke. Made one throw that was incredible against Duke. But in his entire career, I've seen a lot more trying to throw a touchdown on every pass. Well, who the hell did that this last year? Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Well, who has the higher upside? I'd imagine Jackson Dart. So you're going to have to work with him and calm him down and tell him, we do not need to do this. We need to go on the intermediate. That's what we need to do. So that's what I'm guessing. I'm not convinced. There's a lot more to go. It's only January 16th. That's what I'm guessing they're going to do. If Kevin is the one in charge, as Jason says, and he's knocking it out of the park right now, yeah, you're going to have Kirk Cousins. We're going to have ourselves some leftover pot roast and some instant mashed potatoes, corn, green beans. We'll do that for the first 8 weeks of the season. We'll see where we're at. And then maybe by that time, we'll go out and we'll get ourselves some nice pizza and we'll get some Jackson Dart in there and see how he goes. And by the end of the year, we'll find out whether or not guys keep their jobs or not. And if we're by 500, maybe we'll have a lot of faith in Jackson Dart. And the people who are sending me pictures of him photoshopped in Browns uniforms, you guys can do champions pose and everybody will be excited. Or they will fall flat ass on their face. All these guys will be gone. The front office, the head coach, everybody will be gone. Paul DiBodesta ain't going anywhere because, I don't know, you keep telling me he just makes everybody money. So that's the end of that. I'm not going to argue for that. But they'll all be gone, and then we can start talking about guys in the 2026 draft. A nice Carson Beck. I ain't convinced that Arch Manning's going to just be out and ready to go. They could always go back to the Manning family. 216-474-0092. Let me ask Connor and Lorraine. Connor, I want to ask you, who do you trust more right now? Who do you want to give the power to? Is it Andrew Berry or is it Kevin Stefanski to make this decision?
I mean, Kevin Stefanski's got more experience working under developed quarterbacks, right? I mean, he worked with Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. Am I wrong?
Yep, he did.
You know, they had a good game, a good scheme there.
Let me share this with me here, go with me on this. Kirk was already developed in a way. I mean, he was a veteran by the time he went to Minnesota. Remember, he started with Washington.
Right, but I don't think he was that good in Washington. I mean, he sat behind RG3, and then RG3 got injured, and then he was they double drafted that year. It was a mess.
Right.
I don't think he was great.
Yeah, I'm bogging you down. Go ahead. Yeah,
and he became what I think a system quarterback when he went to Minnesota. He tried to be a system quarterback in Atlanta, didn't work. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Baker worked with Kevin. He developed him, kind of, I guess, in a way. You know, obviously didn't work out because, you know, we went after the Predator. But at the end of the day, I think I would give more faith into Kevin.
All right, Connor, thank you very much for the call. That's all I asked. I mean, which one do you want to be in charge? They're all staying. Who do you want to be in charge of the decision? I got to tell you, if I were Jimmy and I'm not letting anybody go, then, I don't know, you already taught me into one thing. I think I'm going to go with Kev on this one, bud.
And, I mean, look, if people are upset about that, then if things blow up the way that a lot of people are anticipating they will, then does Kevin even make it through the year anyway? And then you're starting over with a new quarterback the next year.
In so many ways, and I know we got to go here because I want to bring in George at 920. Jimmy is, except we don't have billions of dollars, Jimmy's a lot like us. I can promise you to my dying day, if I go out there and I get hit by a bus, you will know that I know that Jimmy Haslam wants to win football games. He's obsessed with it. So he wants everything we do. Well, you can't fire the fans, and Jimmy Haslam's not going to fire himself. So if you are a person who says no to Shedeur Sanders, you don't want the circus. No to Cam Ward, you just don't like Cam Ward. All right, if you're Jimmy, you're sitting there thinking, hey, I don't got to deal with the circus. You'll trade down. You'll get me Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is fine. Roast beef, mashed potatoes. We'll bring in this Jackson Dart kid. Ole Miss, I know SEC football. Okay, you can talk me into that. We'll see if this kid works out, and if not, hell, I'll let you all go, and then I'll bring in other people, and then we can go out and we can get our big-time quarterback and start this thing anew. Ain't going to make me any more friends with the fan base, but still want the same thing. It would be Kevin. Your Cleveland Cavaliers are in Oklahoma City tonight to take on the Thunder, and we have boots on the ground. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend from the Cleveland Cavaliers, Cavs forward / enforcer, George Niang, joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. George, how the hell are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. I can't ask you, okay, how do I ask this without giving away your position? Because I don't think the NBA would like this. I just realized this. Are you staying at the Haunted Hotel?
No, they moved us out of there a couple years ago.
Okay, so I could say the name of the hotel is what, Owen? The Skirvin Hotel? Skirvin?
Skirvin.
Skirvin.
The Skirvin.
Did you stay there before?
No, I actually never have, but I've heard some treacherous stories. So,
but is part of you kind of curious?
Yeah.
Some of you and your teammates maybe want to go there?
Yeah. You into ghosts?
No, not especially when I'm trying to get a good night's sleep before a big game.
I had a friend of mine who played in the NFL, and they stayed at a haunted place. And he said, I swear to God, he said he just talked to the ghost and said, listen, I don't know what happened to you. I feel sympathy for you. I have to go to sleep. Can you please leave me alone? Thank you. And the ghost left. The water was coming on, George. The coat racks were like jiggling around. The TV was coming on and off. Like, it was poltergeist stuff. And he sat up and he goes, listen, I need to get some sleep, please. I understand you're here.
So they were reasonable?
I recognize you. And the ghost was reasonable. Hand to God.
That's what you want out of ghosts, George.
That's what you want. You want a reasonable ghost.
Yeah, honestly, sounds like a respectable ghost. So
need more of them.
I'm saying, yeah, we do need more of them. There we go.
A few bad apples spoil it for everybody.
In the playoffs, in the playoffs here, things are going to get physical. And I asked the question, who do people want as the Cavs enforcer? So many people said you, George. They know you're a tough talker here on this show. Are you ready to carry the mantle and be the enforcer for the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Am I ready? That's funny. I think anything that the team is willing to ask me to do, I'm going to do. And if that's but not do what Benedict Mathurin did the other night.
No.
But I think the physicality is part of my game and who I am, and protecting our guys is definitely another thing that I take pride in doing.
Boy, George, it was pretty obvious Ben had lost his cool during that game. He's a very good player. Had a couple of good games against you guys, but three technicals in that game and didn't seem to exactly hit it off with referee Natalie Sago. How important is it for you guys to have good camaraderie, good rapport with the officials, and especially a lot of the new officials in the NBA?
Yeah, I would say that wouldn't be the first thing on my list that I'd be doing was to run up on a referee. I mean, obviously, emotions get the best of you sometimes when you're dialed in an intense game. But I think Kenny has done a great job of kind of reeling us in to be the team that kind of has composure when stuff isn't going your way. And I think that's kind of given us the benefit of the doubt with the whistle this year. Not to say that refs are playing favorites or whatever, but they are human. So if you want to MF a referee and then expect to get a touch foul, pretty unrealistic. So I think we've done a good job at avoiding that.
I'm not going to put words in your mouth. I'll put words in my own mouth. That was one of my criticisms last year before Kenny Atkinson came here. So that's a good thing to hear from you, George. George Yang joining us here on the show. Tone, I got to tell you, when we get ready, well, George, let me throw this by you here. You guys are good, really good. I mean, 34-5 is an outrageous record to have. I feel that if I go looking for problems, I'm looking for problems. Oh, because, you know, if something goes awry in the postseason, well, I told you this, that, and the other would be a problem here. I don't want to do that. And I'm not going to shed any new light. I find
no,
that
Ken, you should. That's what gets listeners. You should throw some stuff out there.
What? No. No.
No, I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, if I wasn't in a city I cared about, I would. I'm dead serious. Like if we were in Chicago.
If you're in Pittsburgh or something.
Yeah. And they got a basketball team, I'd be saying some wild stuff right now. But either way.
There we go.
I've said I gotta listen to Kenny. I gotta listen to his post games. I gotta listen to him in the post games when you win. I gotta listen to him in the post games, especially when you lose, because then I can say, okay, Kenny talked about this in January after a loss to Indiana. You know, Kenny talked about this whenever. What are some of the things that Kenny is stressing to you guys? It's January. We're not ramping up to the postseason, but what are some of the things that Kenny is stressing to you guys about focusing on to make sure you nip in the bud before the postseason comes around?
I definitely think it's taking care of the basketball, you know, limiting turnovers. You know, we want to win the possession game when it comes down to, you know, these close games or these playoff-like games, because that's where it comes down to.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Playoffs, like who had more possessions? Who had more opportunities to score more points? Because no matter how good your defense is, if they have 10 more tries to score the basketball, that could be the difference in winning and losing. And the margin of error in the playoffs is so finite and minimal that you want to control that possession game. I think some have said that, you know, our offensive rebounding numbers have gone up. We've done a better job of taking care of the ball. I think recently against Indiana we didn't. But I think that's something we're definitely trying to hone in on and really focus on.
George Nyang, right now with the Cavaliers, 34-5. So, you guys, one of your five losses you sustained at home against Indy, but then you obviously picked it up, and for a road game, that was impressive. Donovan got off to the great start. What did Coach kind of hit on after the Pacers game? You're not going to win them all, I get that, but was there a coaching point? Was there something you guys wanted to do? Maybe it was handling their pressure. Did he lay out any steps to try to come back and win like you guys were able to?
Yeah, I think it was a point of emphasis, like I just mentioned, taking care of the basketball. Obviously, you know, we were up 15, I think, in the third quarter, and then kind of, you know, let their pressure turn us over, and their turnovers turned to points, and essentially we never really could take a hold of the game once they took the lead. So I think it was a point of emphasis to take care of the ball and continue to play with, you know, that tenacity that, you know, we've always played with. You know, obviously you're fighting complacency. I think Coach said it, we hadn't lost in 5 weeks. So sometimes you, I don't want to say become complacent, but you think, oh yeah, they're going on their run. Don't worry. We're going to figure a way out and go on our run. But, you know, sometimes you forget that you actually have to make that happen. Hard work and, you know, effort goes into that. So, never to say that you need wake-up calls, but I think that was a good wake-up call getting us ready before, you know, this road trip. Obviously, it sucks to lose. And when you're winning so frequently, you do have to fight complacency on your own. You never want a loss to kind of set you back into place. I think that loss did that for us. And now we're focused on, you know, trying to continue to get a little better each day. I think I've said it before, winning in the regular season is awesome, but I think for most of us, we're focused on trying to figure out ways that we can grow and become better because in Cleveland, the postseason matters.
Don't think people aren't noticing that the bigs on Oklahoma City are trying to dodge the Cavaliers in prime time. They don't want to be embarrassed the way they were inside. In the first matchup, Hartenstein, Holmgren, looks like they are not going to go tonight. I imagine you guys, it should be a bloodbath inside for you.
Yeah, I mean, they got a gritty group over there. And I, just from past experience, when, you know, the other team is smaller and not doesn't have as much size up front, I think, you know, it allows for a game to be more physical. So I think a bunch of us are expecting, you know, the game to be a lot more scrappier, more physical, maybe not as many fouls called. So that's a game that we're going to be ready for. I mean, obviously, this is going to be another playoff-like atmosphere, especially down here in Oklahoma, and it's going to be intense, and I think all of our guys are ready for that.
Darius Garland has grown so much, it looks like, from an outsider's perspective here. What steps has he taken in his growth, and do you believe he's ready to lead on the big stage, sharing it with Donovan Mitchell?
You know, I think Darius is a unique piece, right? He's a point guard that can ultimately get us into all our actions that we need. He's a wizard with the basketball, and he can really score along with pass. Like you said about his growth, I think obviously the leadership that he's taken with you know, showing up every day and continuing to be someone that we can ultimately count on. And I think that's with his habits and with his work ethic. Not to say that there's been a drastic change, but the kid's going to ultimately be successful because he puts in the work. I don't know if anybody sees that more than, you know, our guys on our staff and our team, is that he has those daily habits that make players great. He's in there every day lifting, getting extra shots at night. And I think that's why you've seen the consistency that you've seen from him, which ultimately I think make him an all-star. I know, you know, on our team we have a lot of depth, and those, you know, top-tier guys on our team have to sacrifice minutes so that, you know, everybody can essentially play and they don't have to play heavy minutes. But I do think at some point, you know, he needs to be looked at as the best point guard in the East right now, which makes him an all-star, because I think rewarding winning and being able to play with alongside other all-stars is even more impressive than just going out there and being the middle of the pack team and scoring points and gaining stats.
George Deng with us on the hotline right now. So we played a clip earlier in the show. The commissioner of the NBA went on national radio and bemoaned the issues right now in the league with style of play and with three-point shooting, yet kind of feels like in Cleveland that's not an issue. You guys are taking a lot of threes, I think fifth most in the league, but your percentage, it's the economy at which you guys are doing it that has been so impressive. When you hear the commissioner talking about that, are you like, what's the issue? What, we're not allowed to play basketball the way we're playing, excite the fans, entertain the way you are, and also win every game?
Yeah, I kind of have to be careful how I talk about my boss, right, Lima? You know what I mean? So
we say unspeakable things about Keith Britton on the air.
Yeah. I think it's – I don't want to say it's a little out there, but, yeah, are there teams out there that probably shouldn't be taking this many threes or kind
Charlotte.
Of buying
– Charlotte. You can say Charlotte. You can say LaMelo Ball by name. You can say it.
Yeah. Buying into that system – but that has nothing to do with me. I know the product that we put out there and the team that I'm on is enjoyable to watch, and we do things the right way. And I was always told, you know, to stay in my lane, because when you try and worry about what other people are doing and get out of your lane, that's how you get hit by a Mack truck. So I'm happy to know that the Cavaliers, you know, play the right way. And if anybody wants to know how we play, I'll send you the handbook and you can start, you know, trying to make your team do the same things. I think how we, you know, manipulate, you know, the three-point line and allow guys to extend their defense to come out and guard us and then take advantage of it, you know, with layups or attacking the rim, we have a pretty healthy dose of both. But I also think shooting three-pointers and taking layups and dunks has been efficient for us. That doesn't mean that we don't play in the mid-range game or shoot mid-range shots. We try and take an efficient shot every time we're down there. And it's unfortunate that because of other teams, like you guys had said, that we get looped into the mold of, you know, the NBA shooting too many threes. Well, we're shooting a lot of them and we're making a lot of them. So unless we start, you know, missing them, we're going to keep shooting them.
George, SGA, you're going up against tonight. He's one of the most consistent players over the last 3 years in the league. He is so tricky. He's slippery. He has that off-arm thing that, well, if they wanted to start calling that a foul, it would really damage his game. How difficult is it to really neutralize him? Because he's got basically all the Kobe moves in his game, and he just seems to be doing it every single night out.
Yeah, no, he's a special talent, right? And, you know that, you know, he's going to go out there and draw a lot of attention, whether if it's from us, you know, or the referees. He does a good job of being able to get to the free throw line, if you call that a skill or whatever. But he also is super skilled at getting to his spots, rising up and making shots. So I think for us is you want to make things difficult for him, make it tough for him to go out there and score points for his team and be effective. I think the more you can wear him down, the better off we'll be, especially the fact that, you know, they're lacking some size. So you definitely want to make them work on both ends.
George Niang on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Have a great game tonight. Have a great trip up north to Minnesota. And we'll see you here on Monday. Well,
Send me a jacket. My goodness, like -1.
I saw Steph Curry walking into the building, and no offense to the fine people in Minnesota, he looked miserable. He looked like he was freezing his baguettes off.
Well, we got to focus on this one, Ken. Yeah. So let's focus on Oklahoma City. It's sunny out here. I'm feeling great vibes. So we'll focus on that before I get drenched with snow in Minnesota.
Hey, much better over here. All right, George, thank you very much for the time, buddy. All the best.
Appreciate you guys.
George Niang on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I'm dead serious. They showed him walking in during the Knicks game last night. I go, oh, gosh, he's freezing his ass off. Mitch, please.
All right, guys. Yesterday, the 216 was on full display on the New Heights podcast as LeBron James joined the Kelce brothers, talking about their days in Cleveland. And LeBron had a quote that some people took umbrage with, talking about the Cavs' success this season.
It's all good. Cleveland, by the way, the Cavs look amazing right now as well. They got another opportunity. Yeah, I hope they keep it going. They got an opportunity to do something special. So, you know, I'm glad I was able to put on first, set the trend, and hopefully we keep it going.
There's always something.
I mean, they're 21-17. He's still playing.
I'm glad I set the trend.
On a given night, he's still playing spectacularly well for his age.
What? But, wait a minute. Wait, hold on. I don't care. Dude, shut up. Stop saying nice things about LeBron James.
No, I was about to throw shade to him.
Oh, well, yeah. Then go right on ahead. I apologize.
Yeah. I mean, I'm amazed that he's still able to do the stuff he's doing. This was such a poor attempt to try to get in on the bandwagon.
Did his agent tell the Kelce brothers, like, hey, ask him a question around the camp?
Yes.
No. You guys didn't listen to the podcast. No, it's very obvious. I listened to it twice yesterday. I listened to everything that Travis Kelce does. It was amazing.
Really?
And they talked about, Kelce talked about coming down. It was a lot about his, you know, career as in high school, LeBron's career. And Kelce talked about coming down to the parade and all that when the Cavs won the championship. And that was where it started. So it's not like he just brought it up and went, oh, by the way, guys, I know we've been talking about my NBA career, but also remember when I won that championship for the city of Cleveland, and I've started everything that they're doing currently. They were reminiscing. You guys are out of context.
Well, thanks for helping me with the context.
Now, what about, do we need to hear Kylie Kelce's podcast, Kylie Kelce Kelce?
I'll tell you about that off air.
Oh, I've seen some of the controversy. Yes.
Did he need to say that he got it started?
No, he didn't need to say
he
that.
He didn't need to say
but
that.
LeBron knows that.
That's what they were talking
LeBron
about.
LeBron knows that he is normally the story of the league every year for a while. Yeah, but now it's about to fizzle out because the Lakers are not going anywhere. They're going to try to trade for Jimmy Butler, but I don't know why Miami would do that. What do they think they're going to get in return?
Great,
so he's going to fade for the rest of the year. He's going to fade away, and he's not going to be top of mind. There's only so many numbers. There's only so many accolades he can get, you know, and how many firsts or the highest ever in league history. There's only so many of those left for
him
to really
achieve. How
many
times can you say you're humbled? Because he's had to say it all the time because he keeps breaking all these records over the last couple of years. I'm humbled, I'm humbled, I mean, I'm humbled, I'm humbled.
There was a part that he talked about yesterday in the he talked about he did an interview with Bob Costas, he said he thinks it was, before he ever played a game. It was after he got drafted, before he ever played a game, and he was asked a question about how does it feel that if you don't end up as a Hall of Famer, you will be considered a failure. He was like, I'm already going to be a failure. I'm 18 years old. I've never even played an NBA game. If I don't make the Hall of Fame, I'm a failure. Like, that's the type of pressure that he had on himself. I mean, so he's been living in this spotlight. Well, in Cleveland, he's been living in the spotlight for 30 years now.
The show is fans of LeBron.
25 years.
Show is fans of LeBron. We've never denied that. It is just funny. Well, I got to start. Well, yeah, you got to start it by leaving, and then we had to start all over again with the worst team in the NBA.
And then he left again.
Well, yeah. I meant the second time.
One of the
worst teams in the NBA.
Yeah.
By the way, 122 straight sellouts for the Cavs.
But you can still buy tickets.
That's a number. They sell them by the time they get there.
It is. What do you mean? What was that look for? If it's a sellout, I thought it was a sellout.
It sounded like you were questioning.
Yeah, I always thought a sellout meant you could not get tickets.
All right, well, when they tip off at 7 o'clock, that means all the tickets are sold. That's what the sellout means.
Yeah.
You want to bring Chris Kizer back in here and ask
him? No, it's an amazing mark. I just think kind of changed the definition over years of things like this.
How have they changed the definition?
That when there's a sellout, that means there's no way
There's no tickets for sale.
There's no tickets left, but there are tickets.
There's
left.
Always tickets for sale. It's great, the secondary market. Back in the day, you couldn't just get on the internet and go to StubHub and buy tickets. Now you can do that.
Right.
So before, people would stand in a line around a building. Man, you had to stand in line to buy tickets. Anyway, back to the LeBron thing. It's great. I don't want to be the guy who's always comparing it to LeBron, but LeBron compared it to himself, so I have to do it. Yes, the 2016 team, legends. He's a legend. We love him. I didn't make it. I don't know why Channing Frye took it the way I took it, where I said, yeah, this is a fun team. They're the most fun we've ever had. It's organic. Well, I guess we didn't mean anything. Yes, you meant something. You don't know me. Yeah. Yes, you meant something. I love the 2016 Cleveland Cavaliers.
Easy. That's easy.
No one's ever forgetting about you guys. You guys are fine.
That's easy,
legends.
Though. They have heard, especially hosts in Cleveland, for four straight years, even including the Colin Sexton team, this is more fun than 2016 or than the LeBron years. Like, they've had to hear that, and they're like, get the hell out of here. What are you guys talking about?
In certain ways, it is more fun.
It seems like the fans have tried to force that time and time again. Is better. Today, Tuesday, this is better.
Regular seasons are more fun, Anthony.
We have done that topic.
The regular seasons have been more fun. You cannot say the regular seasons haven't been more fun.
I actually had a lot of fun times.
Because you were out and about galloping and doing God knows what with God knows who.
There's Kanye. There's
skiing.
Beyonce.
Just because you were on ski trips in downtown Cleveland every night doesn't mean anything. Okay? Just because you're married now and you have to sit down and try to watch the Cavs games.
I am having no fun during the regular season now.
That sucks to be you. I'm having a blast.
I have to come downstairs from putting the kids to bed. It's 8:30 and we're already up 20. That's not as much fun for me.
I guess you should have had kids earlier then.
But then I would have missed those days.
Oh, yeah. And they'd be using the kids against you as a ploy. Like I told you, the one woman would the one day.
I know.
Thank God you listened to me. Yeah, you were having more fun those days, but I think for the general fan who wasn't out gallivanting around doing God knows what in downtown, I think that the regular season game, they're not as impressive because no one's as impressive as LeBron, but they are more fun. And again, there's more. I feel that they are more accessible than they were then.
It's only tough because, yes, the end of these games, you're winning, dominating. Still, it's not LeBron. Nobody's doing anything that LeBron was doing.
The last 4 years have been fun.
It's not LeBron.
And Kyrie. I mean, Kyrie was pretty freaking special. Now, Darius.
We almost said something we were going to have to dump.
Darius is starting to do things that you're like, whoa, that's a Kyrie move. Like, that's.
Well, Donovan, yeah, you're right. Kyrie was great. Kyrie is a tremendous basketball player. Donovan's probably going to go down as the second greatest Cavalier.
Yeah.
Especially if they win a championship.
I think it's trending. I absolutely think it's trending in that direction. I think you were surprised when I conceded that over the phone.
I actually was. I thought we were going to have a fight on
this. Kyrie for always. He to me is one of the best viewing experiences for a basketball fan to just watch him play, not him talk, not him hypothesize about the earth. Watch him play.
Cavs play.
I've always loved
Oklahoma City tonight. Oh, and are you torn at all because they play Oklahoma City?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so.
They were in Seattle when I lived in Oklahoma.
Okay. That's right. I just want to make sure.
I moved in 2000, Ken.
That's a hell of a long time ago.
I grew up a Cavs fan because Mark Price grew up
that's right.
50 minutes away from me.
Kismet.
Could Evan score 40 tonight?
Yeah.
He's going to be guarded by 6'5 guys all night.
Then he should at least score 28.
Okay.
That's my goal for Evan.
There you go, Mitch. I think he's going for 35.
Podcast coming up 10:15, 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app. There are updates galore. And I want to know, guys, I think I want to get into tequila. I think I want to do it. You guys going to help me?
You bring some?
No, I've never been into like tequila.
I thought that's what we were doing.
If we were a real morning zoo, we'd go, da-da-da-da-da, tequila, da-da-da-da-da-da,
tequila,
da-da-da-da-da-da,
da-da-da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da, tequila.